Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Houston Chronicle, he's covered every snap of Deshaun Watson's career, and he joins me on the program right now. John, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, John. So I guess the question I was kind of putting out there before we went to break, what happens first, do you think? Deshaun Watson speaks publicly about this situation, or Nick Caserio finally starts to take phone calls with trade offers?
Well, I think what Watson's reaction to the Texans' inaction might cause him to speak out. I don't know what he can say that we don't already know. We know he wants to be traded. We know he's not going to report in off season, not going to report for the start of the season, and would sit out as many games as possible until he reports to keep his contract from tolling. And I think this, if Caserio listens to trade offers, that's good enough for him because that's what he wants. The longer Caserio goes without listening to offers, the more teams call. And I think I'm guessing somewhere around the end of the month, once we get past that first wave of free agency, you'll see teams step it up and see if they can interest Nick Caserio. Because if he's not traded by the first day of the draft on April 29th, both sides are going to be dug in for the long haul, and in a bad situation is going to be catastrophic.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, John. John, do you think, as you're answering my question, I'm thinking to myself, you know, we've been through a situation in town in Houston here within the last few months where a star player forced his way out. Of course, it was in the NBA. It was with James Harden. And they're very different situations, but there are similarities with the Harden and Watson situations. I guess my question for you, because if Deshaun Watson were to speak up sometime in the next few weeks, like do a sit-down interview on ESPN or something, clearly the goal of that, I think, has to be to get his side of the story out there from the horse's mouth, and two, force some sort of action with the Texans. We know what Harden did to force action with the Rockets. He went completely bad seed 101, unprofessional. What kind of clubs do you think Deshaun has in his bag to make life difficult for the Texans? Is he even wired to do any of the things Harden was doing?
I don't think so. As you know, Harden showed up late. He was out of shape. He didn't play hard. He didn't play well. I think he had averaged like 15 points three games in a row. And then when he finally did an interview, he ripped the team, and then he walked off the interview, and they traded him the next day. It was obvious an offer that the Nets had on the table that was just waiting ready for Tillman Fertitta, the Rockets owner, to approve it. I do not see Watson showing up late. He's under contract. He's going to lose millions and millions of dollars. So he's going to show up late, but he's going to show up so his contract doesn't toll to 2022, meaning he would make $10.5 million instead of $35 million. But I don't see him showing up out of shape. I don't see him throwing the tantrum. That's just not Deshaun Watson. If he stays quiet, that wouldn't surprise me because that's who he is. I've not seen any negativity from Watson since the day he was drafted. He's Mr. Positivity. Last season, he was saying great things about the owner, Cal McNair, and executive VP of football ops, Jack Easterby. And he hasn't worked with Nick Caserio or David Culley, the new general manager or coach, so he can't have anything against them. So if he went public, I'm guessing everything would be about Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. But at some point, could I see him sitting down with a national guy like ESPN or NFL Network? I could. He hadn't done anything like that yet. We'd all like to interview him. And the more he just puts out cryptic rap lyrics, which he did at one point, a couple other things he put out there, people trying to decipher them about what he meant. Meanwhile, he's working out with his good friend and quarterback guru, Quincy Avery, in Georgia, who he's been working out with since high school, trying to stay ready in case he does get traded. And I believe that there's the damage is irreparable. And I know I wouldn't want an employee who was so miserable in my company that he was willing to risk losing millions and millions of dollars to leave. You know, what would be the point of forcing him to come back and play and be miserable at the most important position in professional sports?
John McClain joining me on CBS Sports Radio. John, you just mentioned the name Easterby. You've been covering this league for a long time. Can you ever remember an NFL employee, not a player, not a coach, but anybody that fits any other category, getting more heat and more attention and spoken less publicly, quite honestly, than Jack Easterby?
Well, first of all, there have been times, yes, and they didn't have social media, so it's a different time. Speck Richardson, yeah. Astros GM, who traded players like Joe Morgan and Jim Wynn and Rusty Staub and Mike Cuellar and John Mayberry, he was just eviscerated for years. And Ladd Herzig, who was promoted a CPA and a financial expert, who was promoted to general manager with no football background by Bud Adams after he made the most unpopular decision in Houston history to fire Coach Bum Phillips after an 11-5 record and a playoff loss at Oakland. He was just eviscerated for 6 years. And I wrote a column for Monday, Sean, about the Texans right now have less credibility with the fans and media than any time since they were awarded the franchise in 1999. And only two times in my four decades of covering the NFL in Houston can I remember it worse. And that was the fallout from firing Bum Phillips, which lasted years, when they had nothing but losing records for six consecutive years, averaged 11 losses a season. The Texans, people think they're a joke of a franchise and a laughingstock. They've had a losing record in one consecutive season. And then the other time was when the Oilers were moving to Nashville. We thought it was happening after the 1995 season. Everybody said they were gone, and then they had to play one more season because of their lease. Last game, 15,000 fans. I watched owner Bud Adams pull out in his limo, and the people pounding on the hood and the trunk, throwing bottles and fruit and coins and rocks and screaming the most vile things they could. Jack Easterby's not in that situation yet, and neither are the Texans. But as I said to the McNair family, that's an example of the consequences of making a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah. You make a great point about the era that we live in now. Everything is magnified with social media and with everybody having cameras on their phones, no doubt about it. John McClain joining me on CBS Sports Radio. So, John, back to the quarterback situation then. So if the Texans move on from Deshaun Watson, then in your mind, what do the pool of potential replacements for him look like? And the reason I ask that, you've got a column up this morning on the Houston Chronicle talking about, hey, J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins are Cardinals. Maybe these two sides should talk about a Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson trade. You know, Kyler and some things for Deshaun Watson. Is there any chance that not Kyler specifically, but especially after the draft comes and goes, that the Texans try to pull some sort of deal where it's Deshaun for some sort of established NFL quarterback and some stuff?
Well, first of all, I said that because that pipeline between Houston and Phoenix is flowing. There's four former players and a defensive coordinator, yeah, Vance Joseph, who used to be here. And you know Watson would love to play for Cliff Kingsbury and an innovative offensive coach and be reunited with DeAndre Hopkins in the desert. But, you know, if I'm sure Kingsbury and general manager Steve Keim and owner Michael Bidwell would throw up their hands and go, no, we're not interested in that. But on the other hand, they would have to listen if Nick Caserio called, because Watson is a better, more established quarterback at this point than Murray. And also after next season, I'm guessing they will pay Murray an extension that'll cost them more than Watson while Watson's under contract through 2025. But instead of like trading with the Jets, getting the second overall pick and using it on the untested Zach Wilson, or trading with Miami and taking Tua Tagovailoa in a big package deal, Kyler Murray is a lot better after 2 years in the NFL than those guys, and he's more established than they are, and people might think it's preposterous, but the fact is, if you're Arizona and you had a chance to get Deshaun Watson, wouldn't you want to do it if the price was not unreasonable?
Oh, my God. What a nightmare that would be for Texan fans to have them all out there for the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, let me say this, Sean. I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
It's like I wrote that if they made that trade, Kyler Murray would call his agent or his daddy and say, hey, Pop, call the A's, will you? And then he'd, instead of coming to the Texans, he'd go play for outfield for the Oakland A's. And then he'd come back and hurt the Astros, the only viable franchise we have here.
Yeah, you had every angle covered in that column, John. It was a masterpiece this morning, no doubt about it. John McClain, you can get him on Twitter, at @McClain_on_NFL. John, you're the best. I appreciate it, and looking forward to catching up with you on Wednesday here locally on Sports Radio 610. Thanks.
Sean, it's always my pleasure. Thank you very much, and I hope you and all your listeners have a great week.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.